I have a message that I believe that will encourage you, that will recharge you, that will refocus you on why you're here, what we're doing, what you're doing. Amen. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. And it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who, underline it, wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many of you need some strength today? Oh, you're in the right place. Today I want to talk about a topic that every Christian needs to hear and will benefit from in their life. We've all been in that position, and we all need to know and understand the dynamics of this topic I'm going to talk about today for the rest of our life. This is something we need to know, we need to keep in our heart and meditate on. The title of my message is this: Renewing Your Strength. Renewing your strength. Anybody feel weak out there? You've been going through some battles? Amen. You're in the right place today. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to you, and he already has through praise and worship. Amen. But now the word. Specifically, I want to talk about the purpose and the benefits of waiting on the Lord so he can renew your strength. And I'm going to bring up some things that maybe you never even thought about before in connection to this whole thing. But the Holy Spirit gave me some powerful points to share with you about this topic. So ready? Let's jump into it. Here we go. Every action, purpose, and goal of the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy us, to destroy our life. That is their evil job description and purpose. Everything the enemy does in the kingdom of darkness revolves around that. Since they rebelled from God in heaven, got kicked out of heaven, that's their evil job description, what they're doing. They are trying to negatively influence us. Are you ready? Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to negatively influence us as Christians to lag behind or to run ahead of the will of God for our life. That's what they're trying to do. They just simply want this. They want you and I out of the will of God because it will hinder, number one, the advancement of the kingdom of God on this earth, and it will bring curses and bad things into our life, and eventually it'll destroy us, and we become ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that if they can influence us to get into that fleshly mindset and outside of the will of God, it will wear us down. Anybody ever felt wore down? It will wear us down, and it will cause us to become weak and less likely. Hello, somebody. I said less likely to choose the will of God for your life. It will cause us to become weak in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions, and in our physical body. Your spirit's born again. Your spirit wants to do the right thing because the Holy Spirit lives in there. You understand? But it's the soul and the physical body that the enemy is trying to wear us out and wear us down. Anything that causes spiritual, listen, or mental weakness and negativity in our life reveals this. Are you ready? That thing you're trying to do or involved in is outside of the original purpose and intent for God for your life. Don't waste your time, don't waste your energy on anything outside of the will and purpose of God for your life. And here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you as well. Are you ready? Pick your battles wisely. Pick, because some of y'all, you're fighting battles that you're not meant to fight. So what is it doing? It's wearing you down. It's a waste of time. Some battles aren't worth your energy. Some battles, come on, isn't worth giving up your peace. We were not created by God to be led by. We were not created by God to sow into our fleshly desires and a fleshly mindset. We were created to do this. We were created to partner with God and to sow into the Spirit and to maintain a spiritual mindset based on this book right here, the Word of God. If you try to put gas where the oil is supposed to go or vice versa, the engine's not going to run correctly. And matter of fact, it's going to quit. This is our oil. We need to fill ourselves. Amen. What's interesting, someone just said, no, the oil's the Holy Spirit. You want more of the Holy Spirit's influence? Get more of the Word. Amen. Are you following me? They come together as a package deal. Your calling and purpose never change. Your calling and your purpose never changes, but assignments will. Are you following me? Let me say that one more time. Your calling and purpose never change, but your assignment will in life as you go on, right? But your calling and purpose remain the same. Nehemiah 8:10 reveals to us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Say that with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord in our life is a very accurate. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you ready for this? The joy of the Lord in our life is a very accurate indicator of how strong we are spiritually and how strong we are mentally. Did you just hear what I said? I said the joy of the Lord is a barometer. A very accurate indicator of how strong we are spiritually or mentally. Or in other words, how much influence are we giving to our born-again spirit and the Holy Spirit in our life or to the flesh? Another way to put it is this way. The level of the joy of the Lord in our life determines how much we are allowing our born-again spirit man to influence or lead our life. And that includes the Holy Spirit because he lives on the inside, right? Or how much we are allowing our flesh to influence or lead us in our life. The kingdom of darkness is trying again to steal, to kill, and to destroy the influence of our born-again spirit from coming forth, which includes the Holy Spirit because he lives in the spirit, our spirit. The enemy is constantly trying. You heard me say it a lot. To shift our focus to fleshly desires, to sin, to the world. Why? He's trying to steal our joy. Because if he steals your joy, he steals your strength. The stealing, killing, and destroying of the joy of the Lord in our life. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Are you ready? It happens very slowly. Very one wrong decision at a time. Very slowly. Losing the joy of the Lord doesn't just happen at one time with one decision. The enemy is constantly playing on our thoughts, on our thought life, hoping that you will give in to their negative influence and ignore what you're sensing on the inside in your heart, in your spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? Yes. After several wrong choices, here's what happens. Your flesh begins to get a stronger influence over your spirit man. Your flesh gets louder and clearer. Along with your flesh getting louder and clearer, guess who else gets louder and clearer? The demonic. How many times have you ever heard a Christian say, always talking about, well, the devil, oh, yeah, the devil told me this, the devil told me that. They're never saying what God said. They're always saying what the devil's saying to them. Yeah. Come on, somebody. They're focusing on the wrong thing. They're in a fleshly mindset and allowed the flesh and the enemy to become more clear and to get louder because that's where their focus is at. You begin to make decisions based on negative emotions and not based on spiritual discipline. Say discipline. You begin, again, let me say it again because this is where the downfall is for many Christians. You begin to make decisions based on negative emotions, how you feel at the time, instead of based on spiritual discipline and obedience to what the Word of God says. It's like that Casting Crowns song. It's a slow fade of walking out of step with the Holy Ghost. It's a slow fade of walking out of step with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You will eventually find yourself in one of two places. You will either find yourself running ahead of God with something or lagging behind him in your life. An example of running ahead of God is trying to make something happen in your own flesh, in your own fleshly wisdom, instead of waiting on the Lord. An example of lagging behind God is when he's telling you to do something, ready? And you're not doing it. Now you're lagging behind. Both are forms of disobedience. Whether you're lagging behind or running ahead of God, both of those positions have one common denominator, have something in common. Both will cause you to become weak and will waste a lot of energy and time in your life. How many of you figured out time is a precious commodity? Time is a precious commodity, listen, that you can never get back. Well, a few seconds just went by. Guess what? We'll never get that back in our life. Another word for strength is vigor. Say vigor. I like this word. Vigor is defined as this, as effort, energy, or enthusiasm. Effort, energy, or enthusiasm. The enemy is trying to influence you to make decisions to deplete, say deplete, your strength, your vigor, your effort, your energy, and enthusiasm for the kingdom of God in your relationship with God. When you are behind or ahead of God, you are in a territory of your life. Both of those things. You're in a territory of your life. Ready? Outside of the boundaries of the will of God. And it's a dangerous place to be in. I'm talking on waiting on the Lord today. The only blessed plan for your life is God's plan for your life, God's desire, God's will for your life. You should, don't be thinking, what can I do? What should I do? Really, a spiritual mindset says, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? Where do you want me to live? Where do you want me to go to church? Where do you want me, my kids to go to school? Where do you, are you following me? That's the blessed plan. Not the best, the blessed. The best plan is the blessed plan. Last week in my message, I talked about Psalm 5, 11 through 12. And it talks about God's blessing on the righteous, remember that? And that his favor surrounds us like a shield. It would surround us like a shield. I also told you, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that that favor happens in our life like a shield because that's his presence or manifest presence around us. The favor of God is his presence on our life, amen? When we get outside of the will of God for our life, his favor, his blessing, his presence is removed. And you want to know what else is removed? Ready? Our strength, our energy, our enthusiasm for the things of God. And get so your joy is removed. You know why the presence of God brings joy? Because we were created to be in his presence. So when you're doing something that's not in his presence, you're miserable. You're miserable. Why? Because you were never created to live outside of his presence, outside of his will for your life. One of the benefits of the presence of God in your life, in that secret place of the Most High, is strength and favor. If you notice that the joy of the Lord in your life is gone and you feel spiritually, emotionally, and physically drained, you ready for this? It's time to stop what you're doing. Because I'm about to ruin the, no, never mind. Sorry. That 90s version that came out of me. Okay, sorry. If you notice that that your joy, that the joy of the Lord is gone and you feel spiritually and emotionally and physically drained. It's time to stop and evaluate any wrong moves or turns that you may have made in your life that took you outside of the will of God. Ready? You got to determine this. Did I take the wrong exit on the highway of life? Did I get off on the wrong exit? Why do people, listen, if you were driving down I-75 and you're in Detroit and you pull off on the wrong exit, are you just going to keep going? Or are you going to try to question, where am I? What, you know, if we wouldn't do that in the natural sense, going and you don't know where you're going, why do so many people do that in their life? Something so significant with their life. They'll do it while they're driving, but their life, we'll just keep on going and see what happens. No, it's time to get the atlas out. It's time to get the map. Are you following me? And then connect with your spiritual GPS of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. So when I'm talking about renewing your strength as a Christian, I'm talking about spiritually, mentally, and physically. All right? It's the will of God for all three of those areas to be strong and prospering in your life. Let's go back to Isaiah 40. Now I want to look at verses 29 through 31. 29 through 31. Let's read it one more time, and I want to dig a little deeper into this passage here. It says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who, underline it, wait on the Lord shall, underline it, renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 29 says the Lord gives power to the weak. Now, here's another one where I think it's the wrong word that man translated here. Because if you go into the Hebrew on this, the correct word is strength. Strength. The one that gives strength to us is the Holy Spirit. Because he's the only part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the only part of the Godhead that's on this earth right now. Our Heavenly Father and Jesus are up in heaven. Jesus ain't coming back until he comes for his second coming and his foot hits the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. You understand? Yes. All right? So, by the way, God also can give us strength. Are you ready for this? That many people don't think about. They're afraid to say it. God can also send angels, his angels, to give us strength. Many examples in the Word of God of that. The one condition to receive strength from the Holy Spirit and to from the angels as God dispatches them is this. Here's what you got to do. Ready? We must wait. Say wait. Wait on the Lord to get back in his will. Not just his will. Are you ready? Back in his timing. Say timing. The Holy Spirit is trying to warn us of this. There will all. Here's why he says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Here's what the Holy Spirit's saying. The Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. He's trying to warn you and I right now that there will always be, are you ready? A temptation in our flesh to get outside of the timing of God. There's always, I remember when I was down at Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa area. It's a 2-year program. After the first year, almost everybody so fired up for the things of God and with the Holy Ghost, they're like, I'm ready to leave now. I just want to leave now and I want to go minister now. After the first year. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I don't think I can stay one more year. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you're not ready. You need to complete the 2 years. And I'm glad I did. If I would have left the first year, I would have been outside of the will of God. Outside, come on, of the timing of God. See, here's what happens. Here's why you get weak when you're outside of the timing of the will of God. Because then we're operating, ready, on our own strength. How far does our own strength get us? Not very far. We're operating on our own strength and not the strength of the Holy Spirit. There will always be a temptation not to have patience in our walk with God. Patience is a key. Listen to me now. Patience is a key to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit on this earth. It's all about timing. I have said it many times, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. Timing in the kingdom of God, ready, is everything. Timing in the kingdom of God is everything. The proper timing of God will be the difference, ready, come on, between his favor, his presence, and his strength to fulfill a specific purpose for the Lord on this earth. The key then is this. Ready? This is what the Holy Spirit said. This is the key. This is why timing is so important. Say timing. The key then is this: to walk side by side with God in everything we do. To walk side by side in this life with the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us, ready for this? It says we are co-laborers with God. It doesn't say you work ahead of him or you work behind him. It says you're co-laborers with God on this earth. That it's a there's a sharing of the duties. There's a sharing. There's a partnership with him. And we didn't choose that. God chose that. God chose to be in that divine partnership with us. Jesus told us this. He said the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's your paraclete. You know, I know what that means, that Greek word, paraclete? The one called alongside to help. Come on, somebody. The key is this, alongside. The timing, kingdom timing, has everything with this. You staying alongside with the Holy Spirit. Say alongside. Many times we try to do God's part, and that is when we become weak, we become exhausted, and we fail. Why? Because we're outside of the purpose and timing of the Holy Spirit. We are not called to run ahead of God. We are called to walk with him. It's the flesh and the kingdom of darkness that are trying to influence us to run and be in a hurry, or to slow down and back off from God's plan. We need to ask our Heavenly Father, we need to ask him, where exactly did we go off course in our life? Where did we go off course? When did we start trying to do his part? Oh, see, when you try to do his part, it's always going to crumble, isn't it? We wait on the Lord to allow the Holy Spirit and his angels to work behind the scenes. Walking too slow or running too fast will mess up the timing. Remember, the Holy Spirit is trying to prepare things. I like to say it this way. He's trying to set up, come on, divine appointments in your life. Divine appointments. You know what the word appointments means? An appointment. You know what comes to my mind? Timing. If you make an appointment with me, there's a specific timing to meet with me. Don't show up any earlier. Please don't show up late, because I'll probably go home. Are you following me? Divine appointments. The Holy Spirit's trying to set up divine appointments. You will never go wrong for slowing down to check in with the Holy Spirit on the timing issue, on the kingdom of God timing issue. Sometimes, here the Holy Spirit was showing me more in what to talk about. Sometimes people jump in to an assignment or a position way too early, and they're not prepared, ready, to handle the pressures or the responsibility of that thing. You know what I'm saying? Listen to this. 1 Timothy 3 talks about the qualifications of a bishop or an overseer in the body of Christ or in the local church, a leader, a pastor, right? It says, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil. The definition of a novice is a person new to or inexperienced in a field or situation. Now, a novice being put into leadership is outside of the timing of God. That's what God's trying to tell us. There's a timing for everything. And people who are ready, the door, that's why it says, let God promote you. Let God open the door. Don't promote yourself. Because you're probably that novice. Amen? That's why I love how the Lord promoted Andrew and Allison. They weren't coming here looking for a position. See, they were faithful for years. Come on, somebody. They were faithful for years where they were serving. And God opened the door for them. A novice being put in a leadership position is outside of the timing and the will of God. It's bad for them personally, and ultimately, ready? It's going to be bad for the kingdom of God because there's going to be a lot of damage done. That's why we don't promote self. Amen? They go into it without proven experience of responsibility, and it will cause pride to rise up, and it will cause major damage. That is why being faithful, this is what the Holy Spirit said. Are you ready for this? He said, that is why being faithful in the lower positions of ministry is very important, because it's preparation for greater things. Oh, isn't that good? To stay within the timing of God for ministry, you must be aware of and honest with yourselves. Ready? Of your weaknesses. Anybody have any weaknesses in here? Right? Because ministry, here's why. Because ministry is not a game. Ministry is not a trial run for yourself. You better make sure God's opening the door. Amen? And we got to take that seriously. We cannot think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but rather, as the word says, right? To think soberly, right? We don't want to be drunk on pride, drunk on position, drunk on selfish ambition. Why? Because that will eventually end in disaster, all right? So the Holy Spirit in the word's trying to pass on wisdom to us about, hey, let the Lord promote. In the meantime, you just deal with your own heart and life and get things straight. Be faithful where you're at. Be faithful where you're at. Waiting on the Lord in your life personally allows the Holy Spirit and the entire kingdom of God to align and put things in proper order for you for when the time is right. Ready? For you to come onto the scene. And by the way, that's not just ministry. That goes with secular jobs too. It goes with that. Listen, why do we separate ministry from even secular jobs, right? I mean, remember, God wants to be included in every part of our life on this earth, whether it's your secular job or ministry, because it is a ministry at your secular job. You're 007 going in there. You know, if I come knocking on the door, hi, I'm Pastor James from Living Waters Chapel. Can I come in and tell people about Jesus? They're going to say no. But you get paid to do it there. You get a paycheck to do it there. Most of the preparation time is internal in our own heart. That's why the Word of God talks so much. We're talking on Wednesday nights about our heart. What is the heart? What is the preparation? Why is it so important? What do we need to do to align our heart properly with God? So most of the preparation time is internal in our own heart, not just external or circumstances. God's more concerned about your character. Amen? Because if your character or heart is off, it could mean a different eternity. Are you following me? Yeah. All right. The Holy Spirit is trying to mold and shape our character and prepare us and make us the most effective for our specific calling and purpose. External preparation for things and people that we have no control over, we must allow circumstances to develop to prepare the way for us, right? The Holy Spirit's working all the time. You know, why do we always think, oh, God, you're not hearing me. Oh, you're not working. I imagine God has a few eye rolls from heaven for us a lot of times. Like if you only knew, you know, there's probably 10,000 angels around us, ahead of us, preparing the way, come on, for a blessing you don't even know you're going to receive. And it could be 2 days away, could be 3 days away, could be a week away, could be 2 weeks, could be a month, could be a year. But he's preparing that divine appointment. All the blessings that came into my life, they came out of nowhere just when I was being faithful to God, staying faithful to him. And then all of a sudden, you know, whatever it is, maybe a financial situation, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're like, oh, man, this is bad. But you're staying faithful to God. And all the while, he's preparing people and things to bless you. That's why we don't fall into that discouragement, because he's working. It, just stay faithful to him. Our wrong timing could abort the entire plan or will of God for our life. Oh, yes, I said that. Listen, our wrong timing could abort the entire plan or the will of God for our life. All right? I mean, think about it. There's people who get into drugs and alcohol and all this thing. We know that's not the will of God. God has a better plan for them than that. But their whole life, they're into this, and they aborted the will and purpose for their life. You must understand this point. You ready? Just because something happens on this earth, it doesn't mean it's the will or the desire of God. It means that we have a free will in us and that we must willingly agree with and cooperate to be in the will of God. The fact that God tells us to wait on him reveals there is a perfect or a proper timing, which is the will of God. I want to show you something. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, are you getting anything out of this? Yes. It's a good refocusing message. It's meant to re-strengthen, to renew our strength, amen? Romans 12, 1 through 2, we know it very well. But I want to pull something out that a lot of Christians, they kind of read it wrong or understand it wrong. And the Holy Spirit illuminated it to me in a big way. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, underline it, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Here's the mistake that many Christians think. Are you listening? Say, I'm listening. I'm listening. Many Christians think that this passage, specifically verse 2, is describing three different wills of God. Have you ever heard that before? That it's describing that, oh, God has three different wills. They think that he has a good will. He has, an acceptable will. And a perfect will. Have you ever heard that before? Three different wills. I have. In other words, any of their decisions that they make, they can't go wrong because it's either his good will, acceptable, he's letting it happen, or his perfect will. They think any decision they make is going to fall within those categories. Because after all, if it happens, hey, must be his will. If he didn't want it to happen, he would stop it. Wrong. They think, listen, that is completely false. Things happen all the time on this earth that are not the will of God. Stop thinking just because it happened, God must be okay with it, and it's his, permissive will. Let me give you an example. There's many examples in the word, but one is Saul becoming king. Saul became king because not because God wanted it to happen, it's because the people wanted it. The people wanted it. God wanted to be who the children of Israel looked up to. And they said, no, we want a man. We want an earthly king. So my point is, here's the deal. Good, acceptable, and perfect, ready, is describing, here it is, the single will of God. Those three words are a description of the one will of God. Say one will of God. But here's what it is. You're either fulfilling his desire or will, or you're not. It's one or the other. It's black or white. This saves us from playing a guessing game for every situation we encounter. God, is this your permissive will? Is it acceptable? Is it blah, blah, blah? We're always trying to barter with God. And God's saying, well, if you really want my idea of it, if you really want my opinion, I have one perfect will. We have the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit to direct us into the will of God in any given situation, don't we? It doesn't have to be secret. God's desire, here's what it means. Ready? So, good, acceptable, and perfect. Say that with me. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Here's what it is. God's desire or will, his single will, is good, meaning it's morally excellent. It will not bring evil into our life. He's good. God's desire or will is acceptable. What does that mean? It means that he's just not, all right, I guess I'll be okay with sin and let it happen. Shucks. Hello. No. God's will or desire is acceptable, meaning this, his one will is acceptable. It is pleasing and fulfilling for him. It advances the kingdom of God around us, in and around us. And then God's desire or will is perfect, meaning this, it's complete, it's flawless, and it will be a blessing to us, it'll be a blessing to him, and the advancement, a blessing of his kingdom on this earth. Do you see what I'm saying here? There aren't three different wills of God. There's one. There's one. In any given situation in your life, you're either in the will of God or you're out of it, and it's that simple. Let Pastor James just simplify it for you this morning. You know, stop losing sleep. What category does it fall into? If you're in the will of God, there will be a peace, there will be a joy, and there will be a strength attached to it to fulfill it. If you're not in the will of God, there will be no peace, there will be no joy, and there will be no strength attached to it. Why? Because it's your own will, not God's will. Are you following me? And at that point, that's what you need to stop what you're doing and evaluate your life, evaluate your actions, evaluate your thought process, your attitude, all these other things. In order to keep that peace, that joy and strength in the midst of doing the will of God, even after doing the will of God. Are you ready for this? Because now I just showed you and talked to you about these things. Now what about when you're doing the will of God? Or after you do it, but you don't discipline your thought life. I want to show you something in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit showed me that was pretty eye-opening. You must discipline your thought life. Your thought life, are you ready for this? Must be maintained when you're in the will of God, or you will struggle. Now, here's what I want to show you. I want to show you an example of not disciplining your thought life even after being used by God in a powerful way, all right? Because it's easy. How many of you found out? It's easy to get caught up in that weakness, that weariness when you're in a battle in spiritual warfare. Anybody ever experience any spiritual warfare as a Christian? Good. That means you're going against the grain. You're going against the world. You're going against the enemy. Amen. Go with me. Let me show you this example to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, we need Christians to go against the flow of the enemy, not with them. Amen? If you're not having any warfare, maybe you're going in the same direction as the enemy. Are you following me? 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, I'm almost done here. We're making great timing today. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, the story about Elijah and Jezebel. Now, here we go. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time." And when he saw that, when Elijah saw that or heard that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, say wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. Mighty man of God, Elijah, praying that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Elijah, let's get a picture of this. Elijah, the powerful prophet of God, Elijah just confronted and killed the false prophets of the idol Baal. Fire came down from heaven to consume a sacrifice on the altar. I mean, this was amazing miracle stuff that God was doing, and a victory in Elijah's life and his ministry like never before. And then Ahab tells Jezebel what Elijah did. And so Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah saying, basically, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "I'm going to kill you." Okay? "I'm going to kill you for killing my false prophets." Elijah, think about this. He was riding a tsunami wave of victory after what happened, what he did. But when he got word from Jezebel, what Jezebel said about his life, guess what happened? His focus totally shifted, and that shifted his emotions from positive to negative. He even prayed and begged God to kill him, to take his life. Do you kind of see the kind of weird flow of this story here? This reveals something very important to us. It reveals the importance of our focus and how fast, are you ready? How fast we can go from a great victory in our life to absolute discouragement, fear, hopelessness, and feeling defeat. You know what the hardest times for a pastor is sometimes? Monday morning. Did you hear me? The hardest time for people in ministry is the day after they minister. Anybody who ministers can probably attest to this. Because you're thinking, "Did I say everything I was supposed to say? God, did I represent you well? God, did I do? Are you following me?" But it was a great message. People come up and say, "Man, I was ministered to. Oh, I love the message. Oh." But you still go home and you're sitting curled up on the couch thinking, "Did I say? Are you following me?" I'm kind of overreacting, but you get what I'm saying, right? That's our secret. That's a minister's secret. But you see what I'm saying? When you go from great victory, the focus shifts. Now you're given into fear, discouragement, and hopelessness. There will be times when a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, it will wear you down to the point that you feel weak enough for your focus to shift on the wrong thing. Anybody ever have that before? You're riding on cloud nine, someone said something, and it totally shifted your focus on the wrong thing, and you fell into a depression, fell into heaviness. A Jezebel spirit of control, manipulation, witchcraft, which is control, is always looking for that weak spot in a person's life to take advantage of them. Are you following me? Especially a prophetic voice. Jezebel was hitting on all cylinders against Elijah. Elijah was a prophet, right? So the prophetic voice, all right, the enemy's always trying to stop the prophetic voice, but Jezebel don't care. Jezebel will just hit anybody where she can take advantage and get control. Are you following me? It's all about control. The enemy is constantly watching and looking for the perfect timing to speak words, ready, of intimidation, of control, to get you into fear, despair, and discouragement. This is an important key in connection to waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, ready? Waiting on the Lord allows us to renew our peace, our joy and strength, and to help us to refocus, ready? And to renew our vision, to get refocused on the vision of what God called us to do. Because when you're in spiritual warfare, you got to be sharp. If your focus gets off, immediately a confusion comes in. Listen to me. You won't even remember your name. Come on, somebody. Say warfare. That's why it's called warfare. Amen. Waiting on the Lord allows you to renew your peace, strength, and joy, and all that good stuff, and your purpose. Specifically, it allows us to do this. When you wait on the Lord, it allows us to remember our original calling. Remember what you came through in the past. In remembering, hey, God came through for me in the past. He's not going to let me down now. Amen? If Elijah would have considered and focused on how God showed up against those false prophets, if he would have kept his focus on what God just did and the favor of God over his life, he would have never allowed the words of Jezebel to break or shake him like they did. That is the difference. Ready? Here's what it is. You got to determine this. This is what you got to determine with whatever you go through in your life. This is the difference of getting caught up in a moment and maintaining a mindset of unshakable faith no matter what you're going through. Because a lot of times you're getting caught up in a moment. Say moment. You're getting caught up in a moment. For some reason, your focus shifts. You're focusing on that moment, and you fall into that discouragement. And the enemy's whispering to you, oh, it's always going to be like this. No, it's not. It's a moment. Come on, stand strong. Maintain that mindset of unshakable faith and trust in God. During and after going through a spiritual battle, we must get back to the basics. Say basics. We need to get back to the basics, back to the foundation of our calling, back to the foundation of our purpose. When God spoke to you about your calling, when God spoke to you about your purpose, do that while you're waiting on the Lord. Amen? Look at 1 Kings 19, verses 5 through 10 here. Then as Elijah lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Elijah was exhausted. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I like that. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel, and have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. In the midst of Elijah's, think of how kind God is, how tender he is. In the midst of Elijah's discouragement and weakness, he fell asleep under a tree. God let him get some rest. If you feel like you got to go, 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 and there's never any rest, that's not God. That's not God. God will allow you time to rest. Again, even Jesus took time away to get some rest and relaxation. Listen to this. The enemy knows this. Physical well-being and rest play a huge part in our spiritual and mental stability. That is why the enemy even attacks our sleep schedule and the quality of sleep with stress, nightmares, whatever they're trying to do, right? The goal is this, wear you down. Wear you, so you'll make bad decisions. So you'll focus on the wrong thing. They're trying to wear us down. We must get the proper rest to get refreshed or burn out, or we will burn out and pay for it in many areas of our life. Say burnout. Burnout is a real thing, right? Not just in ministry, in any area of our life. We are a spirit, we possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said all three parts must be taken care of properly. Are you following me? All of them. But why? I said to him, it's kind of a dumb question, but I asked anyways. I said, why? And this is what came to me. Because they're all interconnected. Duh. They're all interconnected. Now, if one part of body, soul, or spirit, soul, and body is neglected, if one part of us is neglected and not taken care of, the enemy will try to take advantage of us in that area to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. God allowed Elijah to rest for a while, and then God sent an angel to minister to him. You know, angels are ministering spirits sent by God to serve us. That's an example. Yeah, but that was Elijah. It doesn't matter. God can send an angel to you. Amen? An angel cooked food for him. Elijah ate and drank and laid down again to sleep some more. Sleep is very important. But here's what the Holy Spirit said. Are you ready? Not too much sleep, but not too little either. You got to find that sweet spot. How many of you know you sleep too long, you get lazy? You sleep too little, you're worthless throughout the day, right? The angel woke Elijah up for a second time and told him to eat again. And whatever the angel made him, it must have been real good because it gave Elijah strength for 40 days and 40 nights without eating again for his journey to Mount Horeb. Isn't that amazing? Was it angel's food cake? I don't know. Just a question. Elijah went into the cave. When he got to Mount Horeb, it says he went into the cave to rest, and God spoke to him there. I love what God said. Are you ready? Let's revisit this. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I love the fact that when God spoke to Elijah, ready? He used his name. It was a reminder of his identity. Oh, say identity. Elijah, what are you doing here? God is saying, I gave you time to rest. I gave you time to refocus. But Elijah, don't stay in that mode. It's time to move forward, come on, with your calling and purpose. When God is helping us to refocus our life on our calling and purpose, many times God will do this. Are you ready? Get ready. I'm giving you a clue. He will ask us questions in our heart on the inside. They are questions and words that will shift our focus back on what really matters, on fulfilling the will of God for your life. Back to the basics, back to the foundation, to get us back on course. Come on, to get us out of our cave. Elijah was in the will of God. He defeated the false prophets of Baal with an amazing spiritual victory. And then his focus shifted to the evil words of intimidation from Jezebel, which caused the fear, discouragement, and a whole bunch of yucky things. And by the way, when someone speaks words of discouragement like that, or someone coming against you, you got to remember those words just aren't words. Those are words with demonic attachments to them. And that's why they're so powerful if you're not sharp enough to come against them and break those things over your life. All right, did you just hear what I said? Words matter. That's why words can make you feel good. Words can make you feel bad. Words can release life. Words can release death. Are you hearing me? And then Elijah gets rest. He gets ministered to, fed by an angel of God. Goes to Mount Horeb and hides himself in that cave. And now Elijah, think about this with me. Think about this. Elijah, that once took great pleasure and great joy in in being used by God in a mighty way. Great joy in being in the will of God for his life. That same Elijah, listen to me, is now hiding in a cave and finds himself not walking with God. But what's he doing now? What did I talk about earlier? He's lagging behind God. You see how quickly that can happen? Friend, that happened to Elijah. That can happen to us as well. He's lagging behind. So now, and God begins to speak to Elijah and encourages him because there is more work to be done. Elijah's calling and purpose is not complete yet. Let's real quick look at a couple more verses, and that'll be my last passage here. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. Elijah, we find him now lagging behind God. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire," here it is. Here's where the Lord was. "In the still, small voice." So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God tells Elijah to go outside of the cave. "Elijah, I know you've had a rough time. I know you needed some rest. I gave it to you. But Elijah, get outside of that cave right now." I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. It says the Lord passed by Elijah, but God was not in the wind, he was not in the earthquake, and he was not in the fire. Those things were reactions to the presence of God, but it wasn't God. God was in that still, small voice. We're always looking for the magnificent when God is in the still, small voice speaking to you. A gentle, peaceful, come on, and reassuring voice. That's our Heavenly Father. It was that still small voice that encouraged and motivated Elijah to align once again with the plan and the will of God. There are some in here and watching online around the world that are spiritually, mentally, and physically exhausted and discouraged. You're hiding out in your own spiritual version of a cave, just like Elijah was. But God is saying to you this morning, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? And the answer to that question is this: you are doing nothing because you allowed your focus to shift away from God, away from the Word of God, away from your calling, away from your purpose. And the Holy Spirit is telling you today, I have given you a time of rest. I have given you a time to refresh and refocus. And now it's time to arise and get out of that cave and get back to advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. It's time to recognize and understand the different spiritual seasons that we go through in life. Did you know our life consists of different seasons? Just like there's seasons on this earth, there's different seasons of our life. And guess what happens? Seasons always change. Recognize them. Prepare for them. Dress like them. Even though I might wear this on December 25th this year, come on, somebody, right? It's time to recognize and understand the different spiritual seasons in our life. There are seasons of rest and refocus that are needful for us after battles, after disappointments, after tragedies in our life. But we can't stay in that cave our entire life. It's time to walk side by side with God again and to carry out his plans. It's time to leave that cave of excuses, come out of that cave and be strong and courageous for the Lord. As we come out of that cave and we obey God, we will have renewed focus and strength to carry on with our God-given purpose. We will mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint, because we are walking, we are moving, come on, side by side with the Holy Spirit. And listen to me, we have one life on this earth. Time is ticking away. We don't know how much time we have left. We must make an impact for the kingdom of God. And God is counting on you right now to arise, get out of your cave, and start being, come on, an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come forward. I feel the anointing so strong right now. Listen to me. There's some in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. If that's you, quickly come to this altar and just come stand in front of one of these prayer partners and say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. That simple. They'll lead you through the prayer to do that. Maybe this message really hit you. You're backslidden away from God. You've made a wrong exit, and you never stopped to check the Atlas. You never stopped to check the Holy Ghost GPS on the inside of you. But today you're like, no, that's me. I want you to come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Just say, I feel lost in my life and I want to get back on track. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're a Christian. You're sitting in that spiritual cave right now. Maybe that's you. You feel like you're in a cave and you know you're meant for more. You've taken that rest and refocus time and you extended it a little too long. But today, you're like, I'm coming out of that cave. I'm answering God. I'm answering the call of God on my life. If that's you, I want you to come forward right now and let one of the prayer team members pray with you. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, Jesus said you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be a witness for him. It's non-negotiable. It's not an option. It's standard equipment for the Christian. Amen. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. We'll pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Everybody, I love you. Have a great Labor Day weekend here. Be safe and check in with your Heavenly Father on what he wants you to do, right? Because I don't know, I'm just sensing there's some, I don't know why, I'm just sensing someone's planning on doing something, but you don't have a peace. And the Lord is trying to protect you. He's trying to protect you. So make sure, come on, you check in with your Heavenly Father before you go anywhere. Amen? Amen. Love you all. We'll see you Wednesday or next Sunday. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Yeah.